May I have your attention, please?
What time do you have to be at the radio station?
Like right now.
Like right now?
What is there, an echo in here?
It's so early.
So early.
We still got a job to do.
I get it, but why do you have to go so early?
Because it's called
a Tuesday morning show.
So you see,
morning is actually in the name.
Oh, right, right.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
It's showtime.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 919 here on a Sens Game Day Tuesday with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. We're here until 10 o'clock. That's when Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech will take over. Kenny Wall's in the box. Mason McTavish, who will be at 11 a.m. this morning, named an Olympian for Canada, is going to join the boys on the show shortly after 1 o'clock. All right, if you've missed the show so far this morning, you missed Mike Johnson saying there's no way in heck that he's going to skate the canal tomorrow in minus 37 degree wind chill. So not up to the challenge that Dave Poulin threw down last week. And as well, you missed Don Granato, the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, joining us and talking about Jack Quinn, amongst others. Very, very optimistic about the Sabres' future is the team's head coach. And I didn't get the sense, Simmer, and I know he's a very positive guy, and that's a very likable trait in him, that though that he was blowing smoke, like he was very definitive. Like he feels the sense that he feels like, I've got not all the horses I need, but I've got the horses I need, some of the horses I need to be able to turn this ship around, which has been floundering for a long time in Buffalo.
Yeah, big time. And again, you're going to be promoting that, and you're trying to, but I know Donnie well enough that he dives into something and you become part of the process. You're driving to Rochester. You've known Owen Power, which is such a big key because Owen Power is going into a tough situation. You've got relationships, I do think, and again, I don't think they got a lot for Eichel, but in the case of, I understand why you had to do it. To get Tuck in there that cares, Donnie cares, you're trying to, just like here in Ottawa, not just get a good hockey team, JR, you're trying to build back at being proud to be a Buffalo Sabre, right? I mean, how many players have just flat out not wanted to play there? So, like I said, they're off to a good start, and such a terrific interview, and such a good hockey guy starting in those humble beginnings back with the Green Bay Gamblers.
Mm, you can access any of our interviews at any time on our website at tsn1200.ca. That's where you'll find Mike Johnson. You'll find Donnie Granato. If you're our big curling fan, you missed John Morris was on the afternoon show on the drive yesterday. He, of course, a good Ottawa guy, and along with Rachel Holman, will be in the curling mixed doubles at the upcoming Olympics as well. So lots of stuff to find on the website at tsn1200.ca. Congratulations to Patrick La. He was our 71st texter through at 12-1200. Patrick, enjoy your $100 from Gabriel Pizza. As far as our big game contest goes, two more chances for you to play and win today, once on In the Box and then once again on the drive this afternoon between 2 and 5 o'clock. Okay, baseball's Hall of Fame, class of 2022, will be announced later today, if there is a class to be announced, because of the way that the Baseball Hall of Fame works, there is a chance that no names could be added this year in terms of the writers' vote. Again, there's over 400 media members who vote on the Hall of Fame class, and you need to be and they each vote for up to 10 players. You need to be named on 75% of the ballots that are put in to gain entry into the Hall of Fame. The first timers on the ballot, one is said to have a reasonable chance based on the ballots that have been made public so far in being added today, and that is David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. Would you consider, Simmer and Hammer, David Ortiz to be a baseball Hall of Famer?
Oh, absolutely. Now, he is a roid guy. That's been confirmed, I guess, just not technically outed, but yeah, and for the fact that he survived being shot 6 times as well.
On that alone, he should be in Cooperstown.
Well,
done by Big Pappy.
It was a fake hit. It wasn't supposed to be him.
Nope. A little mistake there.
But yeah, no, I think it's pretty neat, JR, watching him evolve in Boston when I was living there. There was a time when he had that bad knee going. I thought he was pretty much toast after the first World Series. And he became a completely iconic figure in, I believe, the World Series after the Boston bombing, where he pretty much personally grabbed a hold of the city. He put himself right up there on the Mount Rushmore of Boston's athletes. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got most of the numbers to support it. And just all the big moments he has in playoff series. He was a cornerstone for the Red Sox. And he was just playoff magic. So, yeah, I definitely believe that David Ortiz, regardless of that he was primarily a DH, but he was the best DH. So he should be there.
To Simmer's point, though, of
the hypocrisy
and again,
of it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, that he has not been like some of the others where we have hard evidence of steroid use, and those players, and we'll get to them in just a second, have essentially been their candidacy has been rendered moot, it looks like. If David Ortiz is there, correct me if I'm wrong, there's been nothing proven, right, as far as him. It's all been allegations and theories, et cetera, that was ever acknowledged publicly.
Well, when they went through, and I believe Hammer did the anonymous testing at the time, that's where his name leaked out, right? I mean, he tested positive. It just, we were only testing to gauge who was on it, but it wasn't supposed to become popular.
So why does he slide then, whereas some of these others don't?
Here's a few things.
Because he's beloved?
Well, it's a technicality. You're not supposed to do it. You told me you were going to test me, and you're not going to let anybody know. And I do think it is that, JR. It is a popularity, but it's a technicality, and that's why I have such an issue with the whole thing. And then you go, you know, and I say very guilty by association. Like what he and Manny were able to do together, and Manny is just juicing left and right, you know. And you look at the Yankees, like, why did Andy Pettit get a pass? Well, he was kind of a nice guy. Where people absolutely hate Roger Clemens and they hate Barry Bonds, and I know it went next level, but, yeah, I find it to just be absolutely hypocritical. And, yeah, that's why I personally just let everybody in, including A-Rod, because I don't believe for a minute that it's only the star players that were doing it. They're just the ones that were caught, and they're the ones that have been judged that they cheated. Then, you know, like I said, I don't have much time for it. In football, nobody even cares.
Yeah, he failed a PED test in 2003.
Okay.
And he vowed to get to the bottom of it and how he failed that test.
And? What were the results?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
It's only been 18 years.
Yeah. But it's probably coming soon.
It's the same time the report coming back on Matt Cook, right? Yeah. And Carlson's Achilles.
The forensic. Yes.
Exactly.
It's coming.
No, but and even the fellow with the Jays where the dog food, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Colabello or
whatever.
Yeah. I think of the clubs, you know, that maybe him and Manny were twerking and Manny still had a needle in his buttocks. And that's probably where he got it from Manny, right? Right? The steroids? Would that not explain it?
It's possible. I mean, we
all
know
Manny's because his buttocks were so big.
No, I'm joking about. I'm just saying it just is ridiculous here. And also track back. Did they pick him up for nothing from the Twins?
Yeah, correct.
You know, and you go back to Enwin and Carcion. These guys at all of a sudden in their late 20s.
Could you repeat that for those of us in English?
Close enough.
Enwin and Carcion.
Are you just like giving me wrenches or something right here?
No, but
you know, beloved, he used to fly the
just
parrot.
Just wing.
I loved it when Anaxron was up to bat.
Edwin Encarnacion?
And Edwin was the one that passed on some type of a disease off an ATV. Like, do you remember that?
So many ridiculous excuses.
Like this tracking of, and I, you know. And again, I'd even say this with Tom Brady. It's just my own, but I don't, JR. When people perform either better, you know, all of a sudden come out of nowhere and perform well, or all of a sudden go next level in their late 30s, early 40s, you have to wonder what the hell's going on, right? And I love Tom Brady to death, but would I ever be shocked if you found out that he was doing it? I mean, how did all that Peyton Manning stuff go away before, right? Remember the big investigation? Yep. And they swept that one away. Mm-hmm. It was Al Jazeera of all networks. But no, I'm just saying, but, you know, it really is. It's such a hypocritical society. And I don't, like I said, and I also don't understand, and Hammer, you finally watched the documentary on the guy out of Florida, right, that was with A-Rod?
Yeah, not Screwball?
Yeah, Screwball.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was really good.
But just JR going, you know, and how MLB has wanted to chase its own tail
just
for so long.
Up.
No, not cover it up, exploit it. I've never really understood either. Like, they've done more damage to their own game, including McGuire and Sosa, who they celebrated that home run year.
Well, they wanted to cover it up by the fact that they had stolen evidence.
Yeah.
That they had taken evidence from an FBI investigation.
And that was hilarious. It was Manfred that was in charge of that at the time, too. Yeah.
So A-Rod is also in his first year on the ballot. And again, judging by those that have become public already, he is going to come nowhere close to the 75% threshold to be included. And, you know, guys, at some point, we have seen guys gain momentum and eventually make it in. But A-Rod, kind of, as opposed to Ortiz, and Ortiz, again, beloved, A-Rod, despised in many quarters as a fraud or a fraud or whatever, he kind of is getting lumped into the Clemens and Bonds corner as well. And so it'll be interesting. Again, he's not going to make it in this year, but I wonder whether as time goes on, and you got 10 years that you're on the ballot, whether things will change for A-Fraud over the next 10 years.
Well, and then again, I'll also say, not that you have to be cast out of your sport, and I look at Rick Tocchet's situation, he's back on, but here's A-Rod making a living now on national broadcasts of a sport, right? I mean, most sports, JR, when you've been tarnished like that and you've cheated and people despise you, you'd never see them on TV, would you? Like, do you know what I mean? That's a lot, you know, it's a lot. And did you see him at the Packers game?
Oh, my God. Just stop it.
He's the worst dancer of all time.
He's the worst everything.
And they were just...
I knew that A-Rod would be a Johnny-come-lately Packer fan.
He's a huge Packer fan, lifelong.
Oh, he always talks about the Packers. Man, if I get another soundbite of A-Rod talking about his allegiance to the Packers over the years, what a fraud.
Yeah.
Anyway, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are on the ballot for the 10th and final time. If they don't make it this time, they won't be, obviously, voted in. They could still be added by the Veterans Committee at some point down the road, with the thought and theory being that at some point, time heals all wounds, people will be more forgiving and kind of look at more what they did as opposed to everything else that's shrouded around that. Bonds got 61.8% of the vote last year, Clemens 61.6. So they're essentially tied at the hip as far as how people feel about them. The early returns on this year's ballot is they're above the 75% threshold of the publicly revealed ballots. But traditionally, the people that don't make their ballots public have been the people that haven't voted for them. And so the theory is that they will, again, come up short this year. So we'll find out this afternoon who is going to be added. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you is specifically on Clemens and Bonds. Do Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens deserve to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Simple yes or no. And love it, because it's come pretty much split. 51% of you right now are saying yes, they do. And 48.5% are saying no. Yes or no on Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame. Hammer, yay or nay? Do they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
This is so hard. You're
the baseball guy.
So many things that factor into it, right? And I mean, Barry Bonds was an excellent player prior to what we perceive to be the timeline of him juicing. Roger Clemens, an excellent player prior to him juicing as well. Would they have made it into the Baseball Hall of Fame if they decided to not go the route of drugs? Probably, but they did. And were they allowed to by Major League Baseball? I think they were.
What do you mean they were allowed to?
Well, baseball turned their head on PEDs and ignored it for so long before finally the outcry from the public and from baseball reporters that, hey, now we have to do something. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop it. When they allowed it for so long. So that's why.
That's what makes it right.
It's not what makes it right, but it's just the fact that they turned their back on and allowed it to happen. If they attacked it early on and got it out, and then you could see them maybe in their twilight years and their performance, it's such a hard debate with so many arguments to either side. But
are you a yes
besides
or no?
All that, I am a no.
I thought your whole argument seemed
to be
going
yes.
I pulled
a simmer there. I don't think they should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame because they juiced.
All right. Yeah. Simmer.
Oh, absolutely. It should be in, Jer. And to the point of trying to understand who did it, when you did it, who got caught, how their careers would have went. Roger Clemens to me, and I had Barry Bonds. They also, when you do this, you have to put the work in. Now you can argue it makes the work that much easier. Roger Clemens, you see the videos of him training. There's Andy Pettit, his super bud, training right with him, and he ends up getting in. And to it, it's not like we can say that baseball is clean now We just know historically that whatever is being done stays a step ahead of the testing. That's as simple. I mean, you don't look at sports now and baseball and say, oh, man, this is awesome. We cleaned it up. And history tells you in cycling, in baseball, in football, weightlifting, anything, when you have a history of doping, Dick Pound will say that all the time, it never leaves the sport. And so, like I say, I don't want to just say this guy. Like football, nobody ever talks about it. Why is it such a big deal in baseball? So they should all be in.
I'm a strong no. No, and I don't care if it was uneven and some guys, they changed the rules or whatever and they started testing more. And so these guys, unfortunately for them, bad timing. You cheated. You cheated and you got caught. And I can't tell you what your career stats would have been had you not cheated. Mm-hmm. I don't know that because you took performance-enhancing drugs, of which some of the, positive is not the right way to put it, but some of the things that it helps you do is that it helps you perform night after night, your ability to play the game. Well, would you have been able to do that had you not been on it? I don't know the answer to that question. I know there are other guys that are probably in the Hall of Fame that probably did juice, but they didn't get caught. So the guys who I know did juice and they got caught, too bad, so sad. Mm-hmm. You put up great numbers, but you're a cheater, yeah. So you're not in my Hall of Fame. So yeah. I'm a strong no yeah, on those guys.
And as far as performance, it's called performance enhancing, Jay. Of course you did better because of them, right? I mean, your ability to train, they talk about.
But I think people think, well, Barry Bonds hit lots of home runs. No, yeah. Yes, for sure, that helped him. But what also helps you, performance enhancing drugs, is, again, your ability to play night after night night at a higher level, attributed to your overall stats package.
Oh, no doubt. And again, even a little bit of what Hammer was saying, we don't have a start date exactly. I have no idea. I don't know that they weren't doing it right off the hop. Like I said, now you look at Barry Bonds' body when he was in Pittsburgh, and then you see it later. You know, that's not even the same person. His head even got bigger. The only thing, and I don't really, I'm not passionate about the whole Hall of Fame one way or another, Jared. I just find it really interesting that there's lots of guys in the Football Hall of Fame that I assume did it and got caught. And I don't, I don't understand why. And I'll even ask you, like, if an Eagles player got caught for steroids and he went to the Hall of Fame, would you care?
Would I care? No, because the sport doesn't care.
Yeah.
Baseball, I think baseball has not very well. Has tried to different, what am I trying to say here? I think the NFL is always, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
That it's always been juiced. Yeah. And in baseball, I think there was a time that it wasn't. And then it was part of it. And now they're trying to get it out again.
Yeah.
Not very hard.
I also thought this is part of, and again, this is what you used to say, is that, well, it's America's pastime and it's like apple pie. You know, its time has passed for a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons. Like I said, chasing their own tail.
Some people don't care anymore.
Well, I just don't, like I said, and I care, and I care more about amateur athletes that are doing this in high school, unsupervised with a doctor. But, you know, as I said, I just find it, I'm going to go a step further. Ben Johnson should get his gold medal back because everybody tested positive in that race.
All right, your thoughts on that are welcome, and we'd love you to vote in our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. Should Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? We'll find out this afternoon if they get in on their 10th and final turn at the ballot. So it's a simple yay or nay. Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. We'll take a break at 9:37. Come back. More on the Sens and Sabres. They got a game going tonight. Ottawa made 3 roster moves yesterday. We'll talk about the impact of what that all means. And a little bit of discussion on the NFL as well, future of Tom Brady. He weighed in again yesterday on his own podcast on where his head is at. And we'll talk about the monster television ratings in Canada for NFL divisional playoff weekend. We'll do that when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 9:43. So, Chapo unfortunately fell in 5 sets to Rafael Nadal. While you may have been sleeping last night in the quarterfinal at the Australian Open. So, Chapo's done. But Felix is still alive. He'll play his quarterfinal match 3:30 a.m. our time tomorrow versus Daniil Medvedev, who's the number 2 seed on the men's side. And with Djokovic getting punted late, he's actually the top-seeded player in the entire tournament. So, be tough. We'll see if Felix can come through. And when we were talking about the tennis earlier this morning, Simmer, you brought up the idea that because the match will be played, maybe still going when our show starts tomorrow, we could drop in for some coverage.
Absolutely.
And I mentioned there will be some, you know, the potential of adding some radio play-by-play, which for tennis is a real art, given how quickly the ball goes back and forth to be able to do it on radio. And then you brought up the whole idea of grunting.
Yeah.
Now, my friend Ken has texted me this morning, who heard our grunting conversation, and said, FYI, you might be interested to know that this is the first tournament that I've noticed Felix grunting.
Oh.
And I'm not sure if this was coach-induced. It's more... He's breaking it down.
Okay.
It's more of a low, throaty, guttural, gruff sound, but their frequency increases as the match progresses, and I even noticed him doing it on less aggressive shots. I am not a fan of grunting, especially when it's even on drop shots, and I can't even bring myself to watch the high-pitched Maria Sharapova shriekers of the world. Yeah. And now you have all you need to know about tennis grunting. Always enjoy the morning banter. That's from my friend Ken. Thank you for breaking down grunting in men's and women's tennis.
I love it. Were we first introduced it with Monica Seles?
She was a good one.
That was our first like grunt on every single shot, and it became one of the things. And I know at the Australian Open, guys, years ago they banned it because it was actually a call out to the Kangaroos, and a lot.
I thought it was the Wallabies.
Actually, you know what? Over the weekend there, I watched a documentary on Crocodile Dundee and how he's doing. And what fascinated me, JR, is first of all, he's made a lot of money on the movies.
Paul Hogan Crocodile Hunter?
No, Crocodile Hunter.
He's dead.
Yeah.
So, but I watched
Stingray.
But
you can still do a documentary on him, even though he's dead.
I don't know how old the documentary is, but his wife in real life is an absolute spitting image of the lady from Crocodile Dundee, the movie. Like, it is on. I couldn't believe it.
So the guy who played Crocodile Hunter's real wife.
No, Crocodile Dundee.
Real life's wife is a spitting image of his Crocodile Dundee
Simmer,
wife.
Are you just setting this up because it is the same person?
It is?
It is the same person.
Are you serious?
They met on that set and they got married.
Okay. So what gets the wrench on Friday first? His attempted pronunciation of Edwin Encarnacion or that one right there?
Are you serious?
I don't know, cuz I don't know if he's kidding.
No, he's being serious.
Right now. Because the issue hammer, she's obviously had some work done.
Yeah.
Hasn't
Paul had some work done too?
Yeah, but he doesn't look too bad. But
mind blown.
I guess also in the movie she had that crazy over the top New York accent.
Hit
us with a crikey. Just do it. crikey.
No, so that's the same person. Well, that makes sense
person.
Then.
Yeah, that's why
she's a spinning image. Okay, everybody. 9:46.
Is it Friday or Tuesday?
No, exactly.
I'm not sure.
This day has gone off the rails. Tom Brady. Your man, all formerly of the Pats, I tell you what, Tom Brady is branding like nobody's business. He's got the TB12 thing going on. Yeah. He may end up making more money in retirement than he does playing the game. Him and Giselle. Anyway, he weighed in yesterday. He's got his own podcast called Let's Go with Jim Gray. This is post, obviously, the loss to the Rams on Sunday. Of course, a lot of speculation on, was this, in fact, Tom Brady's last game? The speculation comes from people who know him well that are suggesting that, unlike other times when maybe other people whispered about it, that maybe this is the time. Here's Tom Brady talking yesterday about the idea of retirement.
I have kids now too, you know, and I care about them a lot as well. You know, they've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. You know, I said this a few years ago. It's what relationships are all about. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next.
So this is the truthful part of this. Tom Brady has never before, and as he's gotten older and toward the typical end to a football career where guys start contemplating that, Tom Brady has never before talked about in ways like this, where he is actually giving pause for thought as to what his future may be. And that's in part why people are kind of going, maybe this will be the time. Yeah. So best guess, and it is purely a guess.
Yeah.
We're going to see Tom Brady on the field ever again, yes or no?
Absolutely, Jer. And here's a few things, and I listened to some of the clips coming over. There are circumstantial times in an athlete, and I'll use David Krejci. Okay, you've decided at whatever point that home is Czech Republic. Your family said, okay, we've had enough. We're going to set up shop somewhere else. Now, I don't know the dynamic. His children are 14, 11, and 8. If you went to those kids right now and said, how much fun are you have watching your dad play? And how much fun do you have going to the games all the time? And how much fun is it being an absolute rock star where he's going to be a star the rest of his life? Do you think any of the kids would be saying, Dad, you should hang it up so you could be home more?
Mm.
Absolutely not. And from a Tampa Bay standpoint, Jared, this is my feeling. As long as he's motivated to train, which I think is a lifestyle for him as much about football, I just wonder if he's taken a step back and wondered under the salary cap what the Buccaneers are going to look like. I don't think he wants to put himself in a situation where he can't excel, but I don't see anything family-wise that I wouldn't point, that the family would say, hey, let's be honest, Dad, we're at an age where we can actually enjoy this, which most athletes will tell you, JR, they don't get a chance, right?
Yeah.
The kids are really young. Oh, I think that they just love this. They love being in Tampa. So, like I said, my only thought is I'm wondering if he's looking around to see what Tampa is going to look like. And beyond that, I'd be shocked if he didn't play.
So, in terms of the playoffs, and we all agree, four outstanding games in the divisional round on Saturday and Sunday. Games that, you know, as soon as you tuned in, you were into it for the entire game. The only one that may not have been that became uncompetitive for a while was actually that Rams-Buccaneers game when at one point the Rams were up 27-3. But I'll give credit to, I think it was Aikman. Was Aikman doing that game? I can't remember who was doing it. Whoever was doing the color on that game was, oh, no, it was Romo, right? Romo did it. Did Romo do that game? I can't remember now. It's all mixed up. Anyway, they were saying, hey, oh, it's Collinsworth. That's right. Chris Collinsworth was saying, that's Tom Brady. And I don't, you know, listen, the Rams shot themselves in the foot and they got Tampa Bay back in the game. That game was only competitive, though, in the second half on the scoreboard. Yeah. All that to say, the ratings came out yesterday. Canadian television ratings for the NFL weekend. Mm-hmm. Incredible. The Sunday night primetime game between the Bills and the Chiefs, which, of course, is arguably one of the best NFL games ever. 2.3 million Canadians watched that game. Now, to give you some context, that's as many people, and we're a hockey country, and we love our hockey, absolutely, and Saturday night hockey is a religion in this country. The total amount of people that watched the three Canadian games that were played at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, so that's the Leafs game, the Habs game, English Canada, and the Sens game, all played at 7 o'clock Saturday, collectively had about the same rating as the NFL did. Now, I understand it's regular season versus playoffs, first or second round, I guess, of the playoffs. But that is 600,000 fans more than watched the same round last year.
Yeah.
So about a 25% rise in terms of the overall ratings.
Well, and I do think over the years, JR, and again, Edmonton being a little different in the 80s, but I think since you introduced more teams to Canada than Montreal and Toronto, it's slowly just become more and more regionalized. And I don't believe for a minute that many people in Calgary and Edmonton could care less when Toronto and Montreal are on or if they're on in the playoffs. I think for a lot of people, it is a regional sport. And that is a beautiful part of the National Football League. They're the only sport still standing, and basketball with the right matchup can get it, but not the same way as football, where people have the appetite, the passion. And that's when we had the fun discussion about the CFL. Like, that's the neat part if I'm running the CFL. Not like you got a country that's not passionate about football, just a question of tapping into.
Right.
And I'm not saying they're ever going to be the NFL, but just understanding that this thing is going next level. Told you, we'd get teenagers at home that know every player on the team through Madden. Everybody's in a fantasy football thing. And like I said, it just really is. It's incredible. And I just hope one day we'll have a team in Canada.
The 2.3 million fan figure for television viewers for that Bills Chiefs game, to again, more context here, game seven of the Leafs and Habs last year, and any game seven, let alone between the two most popular teams in this country, that one did 4.6 million, so
okay,
double.
Wow, wow.
So it was still about 50%
of
an NHL playoff game seven between the two most popular teams in the country.
Yeah,
so anyway, so and again, this we're talking the second round of the playoffs. Now, we've lost a couple of very popular teams along the way, right? Green Bay is huge. Tom Brady is huge. The Dallas Cowboys are huge. The Cincinnati Bengals are not huge. The Kansas City Chiefs, based on this could be a third straight year in the Super Bowl, they're getting to be huge. Patrick Mahomes is a superstar. San Francisco, I think, has a lot of fans from dating back to the 80s. So I think there's a lot of fans of the Niners. Mm-hmm. And L.A. just being a big market team and the whole Matthew Stafford thing and that story. So I don't know if the numbers would be as big as they might have been for a Dallas or a Green Bay in that. But, the numbers you usually traditionally grow the closer you get to a championship.
Yeah, and you just wonder now, is the Final Four, much like the Super Bowl, JR, where nobody really cares who's in the game, it becomes destination TV to watch it, to watch the halftime show, and also a little bit back to Brady. The one thing I would say with him as an athlete, like, I didn't look at that game. Like, when Manning finished, man, it was embarrassing, right? You're like, hey, just stop playing. And now he did win a Super Bowl, I believe. But in the case of Brady, like, it wasn't like you looked at that game and said, you're embarrassing yourself. I mean, he is still playing at the absolute highest level, which, again, it's one thing to, for Joe Thornton to hang around for Yager. I mean, Joe Thornton's a spare part at 42. This guy's still one of the premier quarterbacks in the National Football League.
That's it. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right, 9:54, a couple minutes. Want to get to a few texts at 12-1200 that have come in through this morning. We spent a lot of time this morning discussing why are Pierre Dorion, or were Pierre Dorion and Pierre McGuire in Minnesota last night, watching the Habs and the Wild. We spitballed a couple of names, potentially, because I think a lot of people are, well, obviously they're watching Minnesota, because if they wanted to watch Montreal, it's only 2 hours away. And we kind of gave you some reasons why. Mm-hmm. Potentially could be Montreal and could be Tyler Toffoli. Mm-hmm. This text comes in at 12-1200. Good morning, lads. Lots of talk this morning about Toffoli, but my belief is they're looking at Josh Anderson. Pierre McGuire's always loved the player who is underperforming this year, does fit the right wing need and age, and a Smith type of player, mm-hmm. has termed that might turn off most teams, but I believe would be a great fit for Ottawa, even at $5.5 million per year. Thoughts?
Yeah,
that's from Unsigned.
I'll never dismiss anything. You're absolutely right. Pierre McGuire, with you and Steve, talked for a long time. Coming out party was in Columbus, and then when he came to Montreal, we got an opportunity to really break this fella down. And his lack of hockey sense, JR, I wouldn't touch the fella. Now, if he's playing on a third line and on a lesser contract, absolutely, but I have no idea. And one of the things you run into, or he runs into, when you don't have hockey sense and you've got to crash and bang like he does, you tend to lead to injury. I mean, but he's so confused and so inconsistent that I wouldn't, but I would not discount that for a minute. And another reason why you would go there, but you'd also ask in unloading that salary, and technically to me, you're doing Montreal a favor. What kind of a deal would that end up looking like if it ever was that?
Right. The good ref writes, why give up anything for Toffoli when you're not winning the cup by the time his deal is over? That's from he's got 2 more years left on his deal after this.
Oh,
so
God.
What would be the thinking behind, I mean, we've gone through it, but for those that weren't listening, what do you think would be the theory behind maybe making a play on Toffoli?
Without a doubt, next year you've got to either make the playoffs or come closer. You're fired. I'll tell you, that'll be a starter. And you're just trying to advance your program at some point, Jared, that if I could find a defenseman and a winger for that spot, mm-hmm. yeah, no, that's the reason you do it. And also it's some fixed costs. So, I mean, I'll even go to Vancouver. When they made the JT Miller trade, that was for Jim Benning to make the playoffs to save his job. End up being a smart move. So, no, I think people are reading too much into, hey, Tyler Toffoli is under contract. He's not an unrestricted free agent. Ottawa, if they're interested, and other people say, well, Montreal's not going to trade with Ottawa. Right now, I won't say they're the Titanic in Montreal, JR, but their ability to throw anything overboard at this point.
Iceberg! Straight ahead! Oh, we've already hit it.
Let me finish my scotch and play a little violin as we go down. They would, right now, if the Quebec Nordiques were still in the league, they would be shipping players to Quebec if they're interested. I don't think anybody could care less at this point where these players go. Just get rid of as many of them as you can.
On the tight, just as a slight diversion, which is what we do, yeah, rabbit hole. Yeah. So as the ship is going down, it's basically... Yeah. At 90 degrees to the water, sound when the guy who's trying to hang on to the top of the boat falls and hits the propeller, that's one of the all-time great sound effects in movie history.
I agree.
I mean, feel bad for the guy, but great sound effect.
It really was.
Boing!
Yeah. with the band playing.
Boing!
With the band playing was actually incredible, too. Do you also realize, kind of on a sad note, JR, how many of the bodies were brought to Halifax and never retrieved by their family? Like, I would assume if you passed
away...
Did you
see a documentary on this?
Well, I visited Halifax, and one of the restaurants we were eating in during my service...
What, had the bodies?
They were telling us it was a morgue during
Oh, my God.
Which I didn't really enjoy the food as much. Wow. But they have a cemetery that we went and toured where a lot of the people went unclaimed. Like, I think Hammer, I'm not... positive. But like you would confidently say, if that happened to you, your family would retrieve your body, right?
I hope
depends
so.
Depends on the day.
I'm not confident.
Would they drive the minivan up there just loaded?
Crossover vehicle, Simmer.
All right. Three wheels or four?
Crossover vehicle, the old buggy.
Are you? I still can't believe that about Crocodile, didn't he?
That's a bad.
That's an all-timer.
You watched the documentary. Did that? They not talk about that at all in the documentary?
No, I didn't watch enough of it. And she seemed to be really irritating him. So I thought it was a new wife and much younger.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
He didn't seem very happy. She didn't like the way he had decorated. And so it was, yeah.
Okay. Sands and Sabres tonight, everybody. Let's get it back on the rails in our final moments with you. So Jacob Bernard-Docker, Philip Gustafson, both sent back to Belleville yesterday. So guessing, I think we're going to see the same lineup that we saw in the win in Columbus. So that means Mete in and Tyler Ennis, I thought, who's been kind of in and out. But I thought he had a good game, actually, against Columbus. So I think he'll be in as well. He had 6 shots on goal in that game and an assist as well. So anyway, we'll find out probably this morning, I'm guessing. Coach will speak.